On the opening part of the meeting, I would like to read, please, in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 28. First reading in Isaiah, chapter 28. Reading at verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful man that rulest people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Now come over, please, to chapter 32. Chapter 32, reading at verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. One other reading, please, in the book of Revelation and chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now God will bless to us the reading of these portions from his precious word, and we trust give us help to speak a little on these portions of the scripture. What's upon my mind tonight in the opening part of the meeting is very simple. I would like to speak for a while on man's hiding place, the hiding place that men seek today. Then I would like to speak on God's hiding place. Isaiah chapter 32, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Then, as the Lord will enable us, we would like to look briefly at the fact that there is a day coming when there will be no hiding place, no hiding place for sinners. Man's hiding place in Isaiah chapter 28. Strong language is used here to describe the folly of those who would seek any other hiding place than the hiding place that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're speaking now of that hiding place that is necessary to avail oneself because of the judgment of God that is coming. Now, there are those, of course, who don't believe in the judgment of God, but we want to assure you that just as sure as God's salvation is a reality, and many of us here tonight have discovered the joy of sins forgiven through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the reasons that we desired the salvation of God was simply because we understood that judgment was coming. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment, the Word of God reminds us. And so, when we're finished with this little scene of time, when we launch out into eternity, that soul that goes out to meet God without Christ will come under the judgment of God, a judgment that is eternal. And friend, we would like to warn you tonight that judgment is coming. And the strange thing about it is, men and women today have so many different ideas when it comes to the future. They don't want to stop and think about what's going to happen after they leave this scene of time. And in the sight of a holy God, whom they know they must meet someday, because I believe that while there are those who call themselves atheists today, deep down in the heart of every man and woman, there is something that tells us that there is a supreme being, that there is a God that we have to meet. And friend, I assure you tonight that there is a God that every man and woman, boy and girl, is going to meet one day. I want to ask you, friend, tonight, how are you going to meet God? Are you going to meet Him in your sins, under His condemnation forever? Or are you going to meet Him redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and to sit in the presence of the Lord for eternal ages? How is it going to be with your soul 5 minutes after you die? We're here for such a short time and then we're gone forever. There's nothing else that really matters. And here in Isaiah chapter 28, we find man's refuge, man's hiding place. What does it say? A refuge of lies. A refuge of lies. Under lies have we hid ourselves. Under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And man has his refuge of lies today. Well, you say, what do you mean by a refuge of lies? Well, there are those who believe they can get to heaven without the new birth, without being born again of the Spirit of God. But friend, that's not in the Word of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And there's no person will ever enter the pearly gates of glory that has not been born again of the Spirit of God. I remember reading about Dr. Chalmers many years ago. He went through college. He went through seminary. He received his degree and all that in theology. And then he began to preach in the pulpit. But you know, just because a man preaches in the pulpit doesn't mean that that man necessarily is on the way to heaven. Every man that's on the way to heaven has had a time when they were born again of the Spirit of God. And woe betide that man who would seek to tell others how to get to heaven, who has never been born again of the Spirit of God. Dr. Chalmers preached for several years, and he had never been born again. One day, he was preparing his sermon for the following Sunday, and he got down in his study, and he began to read the Word of God, and he thought, I'll take a portion from John chapter 3. And he began to read down through John chapter 3. And he came to the words, except a man be born again, He cannot see the kingdom of God. And he thought that would make a good text for my sermon on Sunday. And so he began to study it. And as he began to look at that text, he thought, you know, that's a strange text after all. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He thought, I wonder, when was I born again? And he began to look back in his experience. And he remembered the time when he decided to enter college. Then he decided when he had made that choice to go into the seminary and to become a preacher. And then he could remember the time when he was ordained into the ministry, as they do round about us today. But when it came right down to it, he said, but when was I born again? And he couldn't remember a time in his life when he was born again of the Spirit of God. And then he asked himself another question. He said, if I was born again, where was I born again? And he couldn't think of any place that he had been or any circumstances where he was when he was born again. Then he asked himself the question, if I am born again, how would I be born again? And he couldn't remember any particular experience that would bring him into the new life that is in Christ. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There in his study on his knees, Dr. Chalmers challenged his own heart about the new birth, and he didn't rest until he found the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. I think it was the same Dr. Chalmers the next Lord's Day when he began to preach in the pulpit, one of the older men that had been there for a number of years, and he knew there was something wrong with the preaching. But this day, when he got up to preach, and he began to tell people what the Word of God taught about being born again, and how that Christ died for sinners, why, this old gentleman, he called right out in the middle of it. He said, hallelujah, he said, thank God, the parson's got to Christ, the parson's got saved. Well, friend, I want to tell you, the only thing that matters is God's salvation. Have you ever been born again? Of the Spirit of God. Any other way to heaven, my friend, except the new birth, is a refuge of lies. It's a refuge of lies. Good works aren't sufficient. Many think because of the way they live and the things they have done, like one dear old lady that I talked to, and she was in her 70s, and she said, you know, I prayed every day since I was a girl that God would forgive my sins. She said, don't you think God has heard my prayers? She said, don't you think I'm going to be in heaven? Well, I said, my dear lady, I said, that's a wonderful thing to pray for the forgiveness of sins, but I want to ask you something. Are your sins forgiven? Well, she said, I don't know. I don't know. I said, you mean to tell me that you've been praying? And she said, for over 70 years, I said, you've been praying for over 70 years that God would forgive your sins, and you don't know if your sins are forgiven? I said, there's only one way sins can be forgiven. Oh, she said, I thought my praying was good enough. She said, I've been asking God all these years. But I said, there's only one way sins can be forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the work that was accomplished at Calvary alone can put away sin. Oh, she said, I thought that all my praying and my religion would get me to heaven. I said, you must be born again. You must have your sins covered by the blood of Christ. Friend, to get to heaven without the blood is a refuge of lies. I talked to a man on the wharf in Wesleyville, when we were there with our boat a number of years ago, preaching the gospel. The boys had been out visiting around the area, and I was supposed to have their dinner ready. We were living on the boat at that time, and I was up on the wharf talking to this gentleman. He was a gentleman with a white collar on, and We got talking about the preaching and about God's way of salvation. And I quoted that verse, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, he said, you don't really believe in the blood, do you? I said, I certainly do. I said, that's the only thing the Word of God tells me will cleanse my sin, the blood of Christ. Oh, but he said, we don't believe in preaching the blood. He said, I couldn't. He said, my audience would just shrink. They would just feel so terrible if I ever mentioned a religion that had the blood in it. And he said, in fact, in our hymnary, he said, we have decided to take out all the hymns that have to do with the blood. Well, I said, man, you better get your eyes open, because the only way to heaven is through the shedding of the blood of Christ. And yonder on Calvary's tree, he shed his precious blood to save poor sinners from going down to hell. And friend, without the blood, there's no remission for sins. Any religion that doesn't have the blood of Christ, friend, any plan of getting to heaven without the blood is a refuge of lies, a refuge of lies. Though there's so many of them today, I think of those that we read about here. It says we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. A covenant with death? You say, what does that mean? It just means that you don't really think death is going to come your way. That's what they're saying. We've decided that we're not going to die. Others may be mortal, but we're not mortal. That's the way most people live. That's how it might happen to the other person, but it won't happen to me. But friend, I want to tell you something. God says in his word that the hail that shall sweep away the refuge of lies, that covenant with death shall be disannulled. One of these days, friend, you'll meet that grim monster. You have to face it. One of these days we're going to die. Some die when they're young, some die when they're older. But every one of us have to face the fact that sooner or later we're going to leave this scene of time and gone forever, and it's heaven above or it's hell beneath for all eternity, friend. And it's too important a matter just to shelve. Covenant with death and with hell, are we at an agreement? An agreement? Yes, people agree that there's no such place and try to persuade themselves that there's no hell and no punishment after death. How could a God of love send his creature down to hell? This is the language they use. I want to ask you, friend, do you really understand the character of the God with whom you have to do? The God that sits on the circle of the heavens, friend, is a God of holiness, a God of righteousness, a God of inflexible, inexorable justice that must punish sin. And friend, while God is a God of love, and we know that because we read these words and we've quoted them night after night, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God, he so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Oh, friend, God loves the sinner. God hates his sin. And, friend, God must punish sin. And God, in his holiness, is going to send sinners that reject his way of salvation down to the plains of hell for all eternity. My friend, a lot of people are hiding under a refuge of lies. It's like the ostrich, you know. Of course, we were taught when we were going to school about that bird. Some who have maybe been down in that area. The ostrich, they say, when the enemy is coming, the ostrich will bury its head in the sand. And it doesn't realize that its whole body is exposed to the eye of the hunter or the predator, whatever it is. I mentioned that one night in a meeting in Sydney, Nova Scotia, and a dear man came the next day with a page out of the encyclopedia. They said the ostrich doesn't do that. Well, we were taught he did that when we were going to school. But friend, it's a good illustration, because there's a lot of people today, and they're hiding their head in the sand, and they don't realize that judgment is coming. And as sure as you're here tonight, friend, if you don't prepare for that moment, if you don't prepare for the time when you leave this scene and go out to meet God, then, friend, let me warn you, it's time to get ready, time to be prepared. What kind of a refuge have you tonight? If the overflowing flood should come across your pathway, if death should begin to grapple with your heartstrings, if you were to begin to feel the cold waters of Jordan, and you're slipping out into eternity, how would it be with your soul? What kind of a refuge do you have? One man, he was depending on his good life and his good works. In fact, so much so that he had it all recorded. He had written down all the things that he had done through his life, most of them anyhow, that he could remember. Had them all written down. And when he got sick one day, he called for the nurse or the attendant to go to a drawer and bring him this book that he had in there. And he brought it, the book was brought, and he began to go over all the things that he'd done through his life that he had recorded. And he felt so proud of himself for all the things that he had done. And he thought, this is all I need if anything happens to me. But he put it back in the drawer because he got better. But you know, a few years later he took sick and he was dying. And again he got thinking about after death and meeting God. And he called to somebody that was there attending him to go and get him that book, that notebook that was in the drawer. But you know, it had been there a long time. And unfortunately the mice had got in there. And they chewed it all up, and there was nothing but a lot of little pieces of paper. And so whoever it was came back to him and said, "Look, we can't bring you the book. It's all gone. The mice have been at it and got it all chewed to pieces. Nothing left there." And the poor man lifted up his hands in horror. He said, "I've got nothing. Nothing to meet God with. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, it wouldn't do you any good anyhow. Because the Bible tells us that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Why, if I could get to heaven by what we could boast in, why, I'd be there saying, 'Well, you know, I did this, and I did that, and I did,' and you, before I could get half through, you'd be saying, 'Yes, but I got here because of what I did. Look what I did.' And we'd be all boasting about how we got there. I want to tell you, friend, there won't be a boaster in heaven. Every one of us will have to admit, 'Oh, God, if we had what we deserved, we'd have been in hell.'" And I was telling someone last night, sometimes I mention, and I don't mind mentioning in any meeting, that any Christian that believes they're going to be in heaven is ready to admit right now, "If I had what I deserved, my soul would be in hell. But oh, thank God there's one who paid the price of redemption in drops of precious blood." Listen to what we read here. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. Oh, friend, who is that man? That man's the blessed Son of God. This man, my friend, you remember when Paul was preaching, he said, "Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." Oh, friend, listen, this man, in his wondrous forgiveness, this man, he's the only hiding place. It says, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind." You think of the wind and all the shelter that's found in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know, the folk here we had a little blow the other day, but you don't know what wind is like until you come up from the Labrador coast where we lived for a number of years. I tried to go out the door of the house one day, but I couldn't. I had to crawl on my hands and knees. The wind was blowing. Another day I had to make my way about 3/4 of a mile to the place where we kept the aircraft tied, wind blew 120 miles an hour that day, and we had to tie all kinds of equipment on the plane to keep it from blowing away. Oh, what wind! What a wonderful thing to have a place of shelter. Oh, friend, listen, the storms of God's judgment are coming one day, and the winds are going to blow. Your poor bark tonight, friend, will flounder on the rocks if you're not saved. But a man shall be his own hiding place. Oh, thank God for the shelter that's found in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And almost 50 years ago, friend, I sheltered my soul in the Lord Jesus and the work that he accomplished for me at Calvary. And I'm secure, I'm safe from the storms. A covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Oh, friend, listen, this is a weary land we're living in. This is a sad scene. But, oh, thank God for that person who has found shelter and comfort, shelter and security and satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, do you know him as your Savior? Has there been a moment when you bowed to the claims of the Lord Jesus? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you have that peace, that satisfaction? Oh, I tell you, the psalmist said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Oh, the safety that we find in Christ. Secure for all eternity. Fastened to the rock of ages, friend, that can never move. You remember that hymn writer, Augustus Toplady, making his way across the Scottish moors one day to the place where he was going to have a service. Realized the storm was coming on, the dark clouds began to come across the sky. And it looked like there was going to be a quick downpour. And then the thunder and the lightning began. The lightning began to flash and the thunder roared, and he was looking for a place, and as he went along, there was a huge rock. Sometime previously, that rock had been struck by lightning, and there was a cleft in the rock, and Augustus Toplady, he backed into that cleft in the rock, and he watched the rain come down in torrents, and he heard the thunder, and he saw the lightning flash across the sky. And for about a half an hour, the storm passed along, and then it started to brighten up again. And he came out of his place of shelter, and he made his way on. And it was very shortly after that he sat down, and he wrote those words that are immortal, "Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from my riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save me from its guilt and power." Oh, friend, tonight the blood of Christ was shed at Calvary. The judgment of God fell in all its fury upon the person of God's blessed Son at Calvary's cross. Friend, that's where I find my safety, my shelter tonight, in the person of God's blessed Son. But oh, think of a time that's coming. Think of a time that's coming when for those who are not saved, there'll be no hiding place. If we had time, we could look at the various seals that are broken in the book of Revelation. When you come to chapter 6 and the sixth seal is broken, oh, what a scene we have. And friend, this is a day that's coming for those who are here after the Lord has come, because we believe he's coming soon. And you think of souls that are here when those judgments begin to fall. Those seals are broken, and judgment after judgment falls upon this ungodly scene. Friend, you think of those who are trying to hide in the rocks and in the mountains. Oh, they're all there. The rich man and the captains and the chief man and the bond man and every free man. Every man and woman, boy and girl, that has not trusted Christ and that has not gone when the Lord returns because they didn't know him as their Savior, trying to find a place to hide. You know what it was like Some were older during the last war, when in many places over in the old country and other parts where they had bomb shelters, and as soon as the sirens would start to sound, away they'd go for the shelters, because the bombs were falling. Oh, friend, the judgment is going to come one day. And what about a hiding place? No hiding place then. You try to hide from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And it says, who shall be able to stand? Oh, friend, there's no standing in that day. What about your soul tonight? Oh, we say with another, when I hear the wicked call on the rocks and hills to fall, when I see them start and shrink on the fiery deluge brink, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Friend, tonight, are you safe? Are you sheltered in the rock of ages? You know Christ is your Savior. God help you to flee to Christ tonight. The days will soon be over. The opportunity will soon be gone forever. And tonight is your golden opportunity to get God's salvation. I think of those words that come to me when I'm on this subject. Hail, sovereign grace that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Hail, matchless, free, eternal grace that gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God that made the sky, I fought with hands uplifted high, despised the mention of his grace, too proud to seek a hiding place. Oh, friend, don't be too proud to seek the hiding place tonight. On Christ, almighty vengeance fell, that would have sunk a world to hell. He bore it for a sinful race, and thus became my hiding place. Is it your hiding place? Friend, flee to Christ tonight.